appreciate your courtesy of your attention for a little while this morning, the prayers. The Bible is surely the world's greatest book. Don't you agree? And as Brother Tony mentioned in his prayer, this is an American holiday. Thanksgiving, coming up on Thursday, is a uniquely American holiday. Dates back to our ancestors. Old Samoset and Squantos, you remember them? And the Patuxet Indian tribe, how the pilgrims came here, had a good year with some bad things in it, but they had a good harvest and looked like they would survive the winter. They got together and had 3 days of feasting, played some games, arm wrestled and chased each other around the camp and so forth. But they made it especially a time of thanking the good Lord that he had mercy on them, gave them a safe journey across the waters, provided them enough to live on. They had come to this land for the purpose of being free to worship God according to the dictates of their conscience and what they understood the Bible to be. That's the founding of our nation. And we enjoy those same freedoms today. There have been ups and downs in the centuries since, but we still have it. And I, for one, am very thankful to the Lord for that mercy. If you study the Bible, you find that, it's like a crown that those old kings used to wear. They make them out of gold or whatever, but all the way around it's studded with jewels. Have you ever looked at a diamond? There's so much difference in a diamond and a piece of glass. Get it in the light and it just sparkles and glows and has many different colors in every direction. And there are things like that in the Bible. If we think of the Bible as a golden band, God's got all kinds of jewels set in it. It's amazing because they're hidden jewels. You can read it and really not realize what it is that you're looking at, until the Lord in his mercy will open your understanding, and then everything changes, and it changes you because of what it is. I found one of those not long ago in the 50th Psalm. The 50th Psalm is kind of a rough one, really. It's a song of reproof to the nation of Israel. They've been misbehaving, and the Lord wasn't pleased with what they were doing. It can be divided into four parts. And the first part contains God's complaint against Israel. And then he talks about some more things and winds it up, as so often he did, with a benediction. I'm not concerned about all of that so much. Those old people back there had their chance, and they did with it what they did with it. And there's nothing anybody can do about it now. But I'm concerned about you and me and what this psalm can mean to us. And it is one of those that contains one of those little jewels, like I'm talking about, that can transform your life, really, when you think about it. The 50th Psalm says, I believe in the 14th verse, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee." This is the conclusion of the Lord's disapproval. And he had said in the verses above, "I'm kind of tired of you sacrificing all these animals to me." They did lots of it. Some of the scholars say that Solomon sacrificed over 10,000 bullocks when the temple was dedicated. So there were just all kinds of it. And the Lord said, after a while, I'm kind of tired of that. I know I told you to do it, and I know what the reasons were why I told you to do it, and it was a good thing. But really, it never was the bulls that I wanted. And he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. And you're not going to satisfy my thirst with anything that you can provide for me. Well, the real reason why the Lord was talking to them that way was because it just become a ritual. Or maybe worse than a ritual, folks felt like, because I've given so much, the Lord's got to accept me, and so I'm better than that. The Lord hasn't got to accept any of us, folks. If he accepts us, it's his mercy. And that's what he wanted them to understand. So this is what he said. "Hear, O my people," means pay attention. I want you to understand this. "I will speak." I'll testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. You know that, don't you? And I'm sure that's an easy thing for, if you're a believer, to grasp and understand. But then he said this, and this is the jewel that I'm trying to talk about this morning. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What a thing to say. The word thanksgiving here is the Hebrew toda. Toda is the word. And toda is a Bible doctrine in all the Old Testament. The word means, when we say thanksgiving, we typically think gratitude. But this word toda really means more than that. It means a confessing kind of gratitude. Not confessing sins. It means confessing to God that he is God. That his ways are above our ways. That the way he's dealt with us is right. That's the thanksgiving the Lord wants. It's more than bulls and sheep and things. When life's been hard, when you've been disappointed, to recognize people disappoint you, there's trouble in the world because of sin, but God's still on his throne. He's still just. Everything he does is done right. The devil works against that, and some people are foolish enough to work against that. And sometimes God, in developing our characters, brings things into our lives that are hard and disappointing. But he wants us to bring him the thanksgiving of recognizing that when we get to the end of this and look back on it, if we're faithful, we're going to look back and say, right was the pathway leading to this. There's never been anybody entered into heaven to turn around and look the place over and said, you know, I don't like this. I wish I could be lost and go to a devil's hell. It's never happened. It'll never happen with you and me. If we'll be faithful, the Lord will be more faithful than we are. And that's what he's saying in this verse. Offer unto God toda. Now, this is a commanded sacrifice. And it's different than all the other sacrifices. There are a lot of them spoken for in the scriptures. Remember, after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary went to the temple and they offered a couple of turtle doves as a sacrifice for him. People offered the lambs and things I've been mentioning, all kinds of sacrifice. But this is unique from all the others. It was not really a commandment to say that you perform toda at this time and in this place and in this way. It was up to you. Anytime you decided, the Lord's been good to me, and I'd like to go back to him and look him in the face and say, thank you. I'm grateful. I want you to know I appreciate that. That is the only sacrifice that people would go to the temple or the synagogue and make, and the priest didn't get any of the benefit of it. If they brought grain or fruit, if they brought a lamb, they didn't give any of it to the priest. He got his benefit in other ways, but what they did with it, I'm thinking Thanksgiving Day, take it home, call your family in, and say, I want to have a special occasion with my own people and tell you, the Lord's been good to us. We're healthy. We have plenty of air to breathe. The sun's shining on us. We're able to get up and walk around. We have a good life. Lord, I want you to know that means a lot to me. I appreciate it. Do it whenever you want to. You have your own toda, personal toda. The rabbis taught that when Jesus came, all the old sacrifices would pass away. So we don't go offer. You will not find a bowl for catching the debris from sacrificing the sheep here in our building anywhere. All the old sacrifices pass away except toda. When Messiah came, even because it's not an offering for sin. It's an offering to come and tell the Lord, I'm grateful for what you've done for me. That's the word that is used in this verse. Offer unto God thanksgiving, something special. And I want to talk a little bit about what thanksgiving means. Do you know anybody who's unthankful? The Bible used that term too, and it coupled it with some pretty ugly phrases: unthankful, unholy, and other things of that sort. There are people who are unthankful, people who are cynical, people who are bitter. Usually we can couple being unthankful with being arrogant. I don't need anything from anybody else. I got what I got myself. Didn't I take care of myself? There have been studies done on these kind of things, and folks have found, I'm not in that world, but I've read some of what they say, that folks who become arrogant, their dark emotions trickle over into the, well, if you think of happiness as being a little bucket that you carry around in your heart, and it's got some honey in it. When people are bitter, when people are arrogant and unthankful, they season it with bitterness. They season it with poison, and their thoughts get dark, and their feelings get dark. And people who live unthankful lives become selfish and, in a simple word, unhappy. It's amazing, but the truth is, human happiness is closely connected with being thankful. This is a simple ingredient. And the Lord commanded us in everything to give thanksgiving unto Him. And that tells us it's a choice. You can choose to be thankful if you want to. You don't have to feel anything to be thankful. All you have to do is go to the Lord and tell Him, I'm thankful for what I have. Now, if you start doing that, you will feel something before very long. If you choose to be negative in your thoughts, like many people have, bitter about others, I didn't get my fair share, I've been taken advantage of. If you choose to be that kind of a person, well, it'll make your happiness have sourness in it. But if you choose to be grateful and kind, it just changes everything. If you're thankful for what you got, it helps you to stop envying what anybody else has got. If you're thankful for what you've got, it makes you able to rejoice in the pleasures of the moment. Just as I mentioned, having air to breathe and having, I can do that and move your fingers whenever you want to. You know, there's a lot of people in the world who can't move their fingers. I met a lady the other day who only had one on her hand and it was all doubled up like, and I got all 10 of mine. Isn't that amazing? And how many of you got? That's something to be thankful for. And it makes you feel better. If you stop to be thankful, it's not that the Lord is on an ego trip and He needs to be boosted up. He wants to communicate to us the things that make us sweet on the inside. So it's one of those little phrases that has the ability to lift us above ourselves. Thanksgiving, Toda. When Leah had her fourth child, she was so grateful to the Lord, she named him, the Hebrew word for that. And it is pronounced in their language, Yehuda. Then they changed it into Judah. The whole nation of Judah, the tribe, the lion of the tribe of Judah, got their name from Thanksgiving. You know what the word thank you means in English? Where that came from? I mean, we know what you means, and we know what thank means, express gratitude for, but it really has a longer meaning than that. It's gone back through the centuries. I don't know who studies these things, but the people who did discovered this, that the old ancient language, ancient English from the 15th century or thereabouts, that gave us our words, thanksgiving, that we easily say to each other what the original meaning of it was, I will remember what you did for me. Now that's a good thing to say to your mother or to your brother or your sister. People, you see what I'm saying? People live better lives when they have some folks to whom they can say, I will remember what you did for me. I didn't always have this myself, but you took pity on me and gave it to me, and I appreciate it. The Lord wants us to be thankful toward Him. Have you ever seen the way children express thanksgiving to their parents? Crude, laughable, very sentimental. When our children were in grade school, come home and ask their mother for some plates. We did this several times. She'd give them a plate and they'd take it off to school, and the teacher would help them to make handprints on the plate, and they'd write things on there with their little fingers. And the writing was just as crude as it could be, and you'd never be able to use that handprint for fingerprints to identify them or something like that. But you know, we kept those for the longest time. It wasn't what it was. It was who it was that gave it to us, and it made us so special to it. Have you ever had things like that? I heard about a woman, when she was married, and her husband took their daughter to a store and said, "Here's some money, let's buy something for mom." So she picked out a can of green peas and some milk and took it home to mother. And so, "Why in the world did you pick that?" And said, "Well, I know you like to drink milk, and I know you like the color green, and so I got you some green peas." And this was years later, and the ladies could still show you the can of peas. She kept them. And why did she do that? Because she had a daughter who was thankful to her, and it touched her, and it meant something to her. You see what this word Thanksgiving means? God has given us a means to touch him. And it isn't what we did so much, what it is that we give him, that is so important. That's what he was saying. "I want any more bulls. I want you to bring me something that's just you. Just you." You got anything like that in your home? When my mother died, and I learned then really for the first time what grief is, I told my dad, "It may be that you go before I do, and I want something that's yours. It doesn't have to be expensive." So he looked around through his shop, and he found a little tool that he had made. You could clamp up a circle in it, and had a hole in the middle, and you could use it to thread a nut or a bolt. I mean, you can go down to the hardware store and buy one for, what, $20? But he made that. He said, "Son, when I was learning to weld, this was the first thing that I made." Now, that's valuable to me. It's not because that I don't ever use it. I don't have any bolts to thread, really. I can go buy one if I need it for a quarter. But I want what my dad gave me. The Lord wants what you and I can give him of ourselves. And I'm going to touch again in a minute what he said comes out of that. All that my dad gave me can ever do is thread a bolt. But the Lord's not my dad. Look, I've got another one. Little 8-year-old boy. Came time for him to give something to his mother. And he bought her a box of raisins and made a card for her. And he said, "Mom, I got you this to thank for raising me." And they made the raisins valuable to another little 3-year-old girl. Playing out in the yard and found a dead bird and brought it into her mother and said, "I'd like for you to have," I'm sure she said it less well than "I'd like for you to have this dead bird because it's so beautiful and you're beautiful and it reminds me of you." And she didn't keep that dead bird, but she said, "You know, there's some pretty rocks out there." And so now she's got a little pail full of rocks that her daughter came and brought to her, because people do that when they're given to one another. And what about giving to the Lord? Well, we give him what we have. And sometimes I think our giving to him is just as, foolish. Impractical, maybe, is a better word. As these things are. But he treasures them because of who gave it to him. You know, the Lord's got a storehouse full of things. Perfectly useless things that people have given to him. He's got a broken alabaster box of ointment in there. He's got some leaves off a sycamore tree that somebody climbed up in to see him. He's got a bucket of water in there. He asked a lady to dip down into the well, and she brought it up and gave it to him. And what did he say he'd give her for that? Water that'll make you never thirst again. I hope that Thanksgiving season and being in a worship service like this makes you and me want to look at ourselves too and say, you know, it's not that the Lord needs what I have to give him my little bucket of water or my little fig leaves or whatever, but it's a connection. And I really like having the Lord feel close to me. I want to do some things and make him do it, and I want him to know that I appreciate it. It feels good. You ever had it happen when the Lord comes down and blesses my soul and I feel his presence around me and I feel like I can get my prayers answered? I like going to bed at night feeling like if I don't wake up in the morning, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. There are hardships in this world. There are disappointments. Brethren, we deal with them better. We can't change that it's that way, but we deal with them better if we're thankful through it all than if we allow ourselves to become bitter and disillusioned and vindictive. It's like dropping poison in the honey the Lord intended to be in our hearts. We live better without it. I'd like to read this, the rest of it again to you, what the Lord said. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows. Have you ever made vows to the Lord? Isaiah said, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a habitation that shall not be removed. Not one of the cords thereof shall ever be taken down. He's talking about his church. He's talking about the individual promises that people make to the Lord. Do you do things like this? I got some pictures of people being baptized. I don't really have room for them in the storage where they are, but I keep them because they're valuable to me. Because those were the moments when somebody near and dear made their commitment. I was there. I heard what they said. I saw them weeping at the altar, some of them, promising the Lord. Years go by. Emotions come and go. Sometimes we feel inspired and sometimes we don't. I don't know if you feel inspired this morning. Maybe this is just another worship service to you. But however our feelings may be, whether up or down, indifferent, feelings are like waves. They can be high, but just as sure as they get high, there's going to be a trough. For every crest, there's a trough. Feelings are like that. Vows are not like that. You can promise the Lord something when it's Tuesday and when it's Thursday, when I feel good and when I don't, when I'm on the crest and I feel all inspired and the Lord seems so near, I could reach out and touch him and every song goes deep into my spirit and I make my covenant with the Lord. I can be just as committed to my covenant when the devil's battling me and I feel like things have turned against me. I don't know how this is going to turn out, and all my feelings are at the bottom. I can offer my thanksgiving, and I can be faithful to the commitments that I made to the Lord. Look, this is what he said. This is what I want from you. It's not your money. It's not your cows. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows. It's one thing to defraud your brother. You know people make promises so easily. Well, Tuesday, is it? Tuesday, that's when you're going to work on your car. Well, I'll be Tuesday. And Tuesday comes and goes and nobody there. And you see him next time. Oh, did you say Tuesday? I thought you meant Thursday. And people do that with each other. Don't do that with God. He is the Most High. He's the greatest that there is. Pay your vows. Offer to him thanksgiving. Pay your vows. He didn't put a penalty on this. He'd been putting a penalty on these other folks because they're making him tired of the blood of their goats. But he said about that. Then the third thing he commanded of us, call on me in the day of trouble. Now, brother, that's not hard to do. When you're hurt, when things aren't going well. I remember one dear sister driving down the highway. Somebody got over in her lane. She said, Lord, come quick. Here's a wreck. Just like that. When you're in that kind of trouble, it's easy to call on the Lord. What'd he say? Call on me. The reason I heard that story is because God delivered her when she called on him. Offer him thanksgiving. Pay your vows. When you get in trouble, call on me. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What that means is, when you've paid your vows, and when you called on him then, and he delivered you. You glorify him. It means that the smile on your face, whew, that was close. But it didn't hit me. 1,000 fall at my side. 10,000 at thy right hand didn't get me. I'm still here. That's glorious. Amen. That's pretty glorious in your soul. And it's glorious to the people who love you too. That's what he's talking about. offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I hope you remember that. This, as I mentioned, this is a precious jewel set in the crown of the sacred scriptures. We can take with us a means we can use, whether we feel good or bad or whatever life is bringing us, that will bring God near to us, that will cause him to deliver us. Now, I read a book about a man, or read by a man, who fought in the Second World War. He saw one of his friends terribly wounded and then die at his side. And he said, I went to visit his mother after the war was over. And she said, God didn't answer any of my prayers. And this man who became a famous author said, he didn't answer any of mine either. You understand that? There are people who really believe that they're walking with God who have that happen to them. And that's our testimony. I am teaching you by the Lord's grace a better way than that this morning. There is a way that absolutely works 100% of the time. Every time you're willing to do it, offer God thanksgiving. Pay your vows. The things he's dealt with you about in your life, do it. Do it. Pay your vows. When trouble comes and you start calling on him, he gets so close to you, be like, reach out your hand and touch him. Right there. Right there. That's what he said. I will hear thee. He said, I will deliver thee. And you look back on it when it's all over and say, thank the Lord, this was good. Right was a pathway leading to this. That's my thought this morning. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention. I hope that we will take a purpose, all of us, by God's grace, to live with thankful hearts. Amen.